time for David Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. So happy that you could make it. Thanks for downloading the show. It's presented to you thanks in large part to Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
They have two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. They are both now open 7 days a week. And you should sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and Instagram.
Let's get right into it with number one.
Number one.
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 Number one.
Number one.
There have been plenty of stories of a trend of people leaving the workplace. I've got a new wrinkle on that, I think. This woman in Atlanta, Georgia, says she quit her job in order to pump enough breast milk to feed her bodybuilding boyfriend every 2 hours.
Oh, good God.
I bet there's something else these two.
Yeah.
She needs to feed him her breast milk.
Oh, here we go.
I mean, I guess she pumps every 2 hours. He's not drinking from the tap every 2 hours, is he?
Does the baby get any?
I don't know that there's a baby.
No, there's no baby.
She gave birth to a daughter 20 years ago. She's 36 years old. She had to dry breastfeed her boyfriend using a breast pump to trick her body into lactating. She's 36 years old. She quit her job as a bartender in order to pump enough breast milk to feed her boyfriend, who's a bodybuilder. She's got to go every 2 hours.
Did he suspect her of making white Russians? What are you doing on the side?
Jennifer Mulford left her job as a bartender so she could produce enough milk for her boyfriend, Brad Leeson.
Brad?
Full time.
Where's Brad?
Brad.
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 Brad Hamilton. She says she was single when she found a website about something called ABR.
Gotta kick 100% of your ass.
That's all I need.
ABR is adult breastfeeding relationships. She says here, I've always enjoyed my breasts being touched during sex more than anything else, so I knew I would enjoy it. I use dating sites, put messages on adult breastfeeding relationship forums.
That's a fun convention.
And even put an ad on Craigslist, but I drew a blank, and I started to think I'd never get to try adult
no
breastfeeding. Well, that's a shame. Gosh, I don't think my dream.
I've got a story I'd like to share with the world. One that needs to be told.
Is this feeling something real?
I understand World War III is starting, but can I just take a moment to tell you about a woman who was a bartender who quit her job so she could breastfeed her boyfriend full time? Keep in mind,
bodybuilding boyfriend.
Things were not looking great for her. She really longed to get into a relationship where she was doing adult breastfeeding, and it looked like it was never going to happen for her. But did she give up?
It had dried up. Her possibilities looked as though they had dried up.
Hey, who wants to have some fun?
Yeah, fun.
Eventually, she started talking with Brad Leeson, a former boyfriend from school. She says, I thought it was the perfect time to bring up adult breastfeeding and see if he'd be interested. Again, Jennifer gave birth to her daughter 20 years ago, and she had to dry breastfeed him every 2 hours and use a breast pump to fool her body into lactating. She says, I've taken a break from my job because I want to devote everything to making this work. She believes that the adult breastfeeding will create a magical bond between them. And Leeson, Brad.
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 He hopes that nursing will give his body health benefits. Critics on social media criticizing these two for sexualizing breastfeeding. One woman writing here on Facebook, it's idiots like these two that are making it difficult for breastfeeding mothers to do so publicly without shame or ridicule. They're only increasing the sexualization of breastfeeding. There are no medical benefits for adults to consume breast milk. Breast milk is for babies. Yeah, probably.
Bing bong.
It's natural.
Do you think this is going on here? Like, do you think there's like a
to some degree,
like a Quad City group where this is going on? I'm gonna Google this. Am I gonna get a virus on this computer? Is this a thing? This is something you can get away with in Atlanta, Georgia, right? This isn't something that happens here. Please just, whatever you think, confirm what I need to believe. Tell me that this isn't going on in Bettendorf or Rock Island. Quitting her job, so then what does she do for money? Because he's not paying her, is he?
I'm not sure he has a job. What does a bodybuilder pay?
How much money do you make as a bodybuilder? Interesting.
I mean, I would think it would be a situation where it's like, you know, all or nothing.
Oh my gosh. They've got pictures of him going right from the tap on this. Brad was open to the idea, she says. It was like a light switch flicked in his head. I could tell from his voice that he was curious and excited.
He said, yeah, we could do that. We don't even need a reason.
Bananas.
Yeah, we could do that.
He started to do his own research into adult breastfeeding relationships, and they soon became more than just friends. She says, at that moment, I knew I had a partner for life.
Well, see, that's the important part, doing your own research.
We both wanted the same thing out of the relationship, a magical bond that only breastfeeding can achieve.
It's all sugar muscle. Boy, kind of packing on a few pounds there, huh?
Yeah, I'm just nursing on my girlfriend.
Getting a little paunchy there, aren't you, champ?
If Brad's not around, Jennifer uses a pump on her hand, and so her body thinks someone is feeding. And they've even set an alarm so that they can feed during the middle of the night.
Oh, boy.
She says, nice.
Sacrificing sleep, huh?
Are you out of your mind? She says, nights have been a struggle because Brad sleeps so peacefully. But we managed to cope.
Yeah, he likes to sleep.
Until he falls asleep latched onto me, which is beautiful.
Brad.
To help bring milk in Jennifer, she drinks mother's milk tea, an herbal drink which is said to initiate female hormones and increase or maintain milk supply. She's chugging these down 3 times a day. She also takes an herbal pill called Lactiful. And has added oatmeal and flax seeds to her diet.
Sure.
Which will also help the milk supply. Why not just graze in the backyard?
Cha-cha-cha-chia.
She's out there grazing in the grass.
Uh-huh.
No big deal. It's what we do.
Cha-cha-cha-chia.
Bruh.
Brad is a self-confessed gym buff, and he's very excited about the health benefits.
Bit of a gym rat myself.
Jennifer says, Brad goes to the gym because it makes him feel good about himself, knowing he's in shape and living a healthy lifestyle. He also tells me all the time that he does it for me, because he wants other women to feel jealous of what I have. He's a real alpha male.
You guys.
But behind close, I'm going to say right now, you're not an alpha male if you're breastfeeding in your mid-30s. Sorry, I had interjected my opinion here. I should have just read the quote. She says, he is a real alpha male, but behind closed doors, this relationship lets him put his guard down, be submissive, and allow himself to be loved 100%.
Alpha male. So 1990s.
She's proud of the relationship, but she says she won't feed him in public. Quote, if it was up to Brad, we would, but it's very private to me. I'll never say never, but I love the time we spend nursing alone. It's our time away from the rest of the world, and I look forward to every feed. It's every 2 hours with these two. They hope to get married in the near future, but they've ruled out having any children together.
Where are you registered? Huh, just the supplement store, huh? Cha-cha-cha-chia.
She breastfed her own daughter, who's now 20, for 8 months. And she says, I can still remember the connection I felt with her as I held her and she fed. It's something I'll never forget. Right, because that was your child.
Uh-huh.
That was a baby that needed nutrition. Yeah. So far, the nursing is going well. She says, after 3 days, my breasts were starting to feel sore, but I'm willing to push through any pain for our end goal. It's been difficult, she says, to distinguish the difference between nurturing and sex. Although it's so beautiful and peaceful, it's also erotic. It's been hard to get through the first few nursing sessions without being tempted to have sex. But each time, it's getting a little easier.
I want you to sing, you bumbling booby.
Uh-huh, well done.
Well, hey, wake up. You need to feed.
Wake up.
Can you imagine? Jennifer and Brad have only told a couple of close friends and family about their unusual relationship.
You know what it sounds to me mm-hmm. like? A good way of you know what?
What?
Of developing a case of... Oh,
I see where this is going. You think maybe breast mate could lead to...
I don't know, but it would just make sense to me.
Diarrhea.
Yeah. Gonna need someone to change my diaper.
Oh, that's what's next. You know, when you change someone's diaper, it's very erotic because... They're an alpha male outside the house.
Hell yeah.
But you know, when they're there with their legs up in the air and a big...
and he was so mad!
Big turd for me to clean up.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to not get a little turned on.
Breast milk turd.
Hi, baby girl.
Okay. They've only told a couple of close friends and family about their unusual relationship. Then how am I reading this? She says, I'm not opposed to telling other people, but I don't think that many others would understand. I don't think my mother would grasp the idea, but I wish I could tell the world. You are. It's. I'm reading the story. She says, this is a lifestyle we've chosen. We look forward to years from now, still needing and wanting each other. I can come home from a stressful day, and seconds after Brad latching on, I feel a sense of peace and calm. For that time, I feel like we've become one. And I have yet to feel anything more comforting. It's a bond that no one can come between, she says. God bless your marriage, Bobby Flay.
Number two.
There is a black bear out in California that's been getting a lot of press.
Big one.
He's 500 pounds. They call him Hank the Tank. Now, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife is saying, this is, I guess, in the South Lake Tahoe area.
Uh-huh.
Is that where they have the diseased bear jamboree?
Yeah, close. Same neighborhood.
The public is starting to call this 500-pound black bear Hank the Tank. It turns out it's more than one bear.
Oh. What?
Now, my first thought was, like a bunch of bears in one bear costume operating together? But that's ridiculous. Hank the Tank is, in fact, at least three not-so-little bears that have done damage to more than 30 properties around Lake Tahoe in the last couple of months. And they're going to start trapping these bears.
Mm.
They're going to tag them and collect evidence for genetic analysis. The bears will then be released, it says here, in a suitable habitat.
A team that is known as the Bears.
The Bears.
Yeah, if you want the bears to be harmless, relocate them to Soldier's Field. Hey, they're terrible.
There you go.
But hey, give me the zing of the day. How come I don't get no credit? The bears will be released into a suitable habitat, and the agency says that no of the trapped animals will be euthanized as part of the project. There was talk that they were going to kill Hank the Tank, because you can't have a 500-pound bear doing as he pleases, going to the bathroom in the woods and whatnot. Bears responsible for more than 150 incident reports in the region. It's between Northern California and Nevada, including a break-in last week at a residence in the Tahoe Keys. So Hank the Tank is now the Hanks, they're calling them.
The Hanks.
One of the Hanks smashed a window last Friday and squeezed into a home while the residents were there. Police responded and banged on the outside of the house until Hank exited out the back door and disappeared in the woods. Hank the Tank is also known as Jake or Yogi or simply Big Guy.
Jake and the Fat Man.
Jake is the Fat Man.
Jake is the Fat Man.
The wildlife official
says... Five spins.
This is a severely food-habituated bear that has lost all fear of people and thinks of people as a food source, and that is problematic. It has learned to use that size and strength are to its advantage to break into a number of occupied residents, bursting through garage doors or front doors. You can't have them doing that.
Yeah, when they...
When they start breaking
think
into
of, you. Think of you as a food source, and maybe firsthand.
Right. If you don't have any...
You know what's just as good?
Picnic baskets.
Uh-huh. How about your picnic basket?
I don't like what you are offering me here. For the buffet, I want something a little bit more fresh.
Gee, Yogi, I don't think we should murder these people.
Nonsense, boo-boo boy! I've lost my fear of people. Oh, Mr. Ranger, sir. Hello. What are you doing with that gun, Mr. Ranger, sir? Mm-hmm.
Point blank.
Execution style.
This is a hit job.
This isn't any good. Oh, no.
Cheese it, boo-boo. They brought in the heavy artillery.
Gee, Yogi. I told you this was a bad idea.
You're walking into a setup, Yogi.
That one was close. A little too close.
Jeez. Well, hopefully they're able to get these bears and put them someplace where they'll get what they need and not, you know, threaten people. Although... What are you doing living out there in the middle of the woods? You know what? Like...
There are going to be bears.
Yes.
Hey, no. They're getting closer.
Number three.
Folks down in Alabama have set a new Guinness World Record for corn shucking. The owners of an Alabama food truck assembled a team of four people to shuck 38 ears of corn in 1 minute.
How much?
38. Four people, 38 ears of corn in 1 minute.
Okay.
That seems very breakable.
Yeah.
Philip and Avery Powell own a food truck in Birmingham, Alabama that's called Aw Shucks Fire Roasted Corn. They said they looked online for Guinness World Records they could break to promote their roasted corn business. Philip said he knew he found the right record when he discovered that the record for most corn shucked by a team of four in 1 minute was 31 ears. He says, growing up as a kid in elementary school, we used to get the Guinness World Record books handed to us. I always dreamed of being in that book. Always. I would go read it just to see what records I thought I could break. He recruited his employees to the team. They watched a bunch of YouTube videos to learn the fastest techniques for shucking corn. That's apparently a thing you can do. Go on YouTube and get tips for speed shucking.
Yeah, it's a tutorial.
The team finished with an official attempt of 38 ears of corn. But they think they could still break their own record because they say during their practice sessions, they were getting up to 43 ears of corn.
Now, is the corn freshly roasted when they do this?
I hope so.
Well, no. Or it'll turn into a disaster.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Red hot corn.
Do you roast the corn when it's still in the...
This will end up like that burrito eating contest we had at Hardee's.
It's not good.
The red burrito.
It's not great.
I don't know why we thought it was a good idea to...
They say that they are a gourmet...
Have them eat the burrito right out of the fryer.
Gourmet fire-roasted corn business that specializes in unique flavors such as garlic, herb parmesan, Mexican street corn, and creamy lemon pepper. How do we not have something like that here? There really should be more roasted corn options in a part of the country that grows as much corn as we do. I mean, we lead the world, don't we?
Yeah, a lot of field corn.
Yeah, I guess I'm looking at these, looking at their website. These things look delicious. Just covered in all kinds of ooey gooey goodness. Aushucks fire roasted corn, it says, is perfect for the person who simply loves corn.
My hands are a little blisty after all that shucking.
Being stopped by the cops literally scared the crap out of her. She told police, quote, "I pooped my pants. I ate too much corn."
There is no reason this corn has to be this hot.
It says it's perfect for someone who's vegetarian, vegan, or transitioning. Also, if you and your coworkers decide you want fire-roasted corn for lunch, simply order if you'd like fire-roasted corn for your dinner. Just order, it says. Dry seasonings. They have a lemon pepper, a tajin, sriracha, chili powder, Old Bay. Old Bay on corn.
Ooh, sure.
How have I never connected those dots? Parmesan, salt, and pepper. Ladies and gentlemen, salt and pepper!
They used to have the roasted corn at the ballpark.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking here at where they're going to be, the Aw Shucks food truck down there in Birmingham, Alabama. Looks like today you can find them at Bibar del Bilbin Park, and they'll also be at a place called The Bearded Peach.
Easy now.
Okay.
Careful.
Talk me out of it.
No.
Careful.
The Bearded Peach. What? I'm going to go to the Bearded Peach for some shucked corn.
What kind of language is that?
I don't know. I hope we're
not. Sounds like the sort of thing that would come out of Sean Connery's mouth.
Well, congratulations. They broke the world record, and they think they can further move the needle. Here they are, Philip and Avery, standing with their official certificate, which I imagine is going to look great in the food truck.
Going to need some time to let her hands heal.
In order to break the record, they had to shuck at least 31 ears of corn in a minute. And they said here, Philip says, "We were thinking we shuck corn all day long. 31 ears between four people is nothing. My guys can beat that easily. We finish our first practice run, 17. Our second run, we got 20. We were stuck at 25 for the longest time. We needed," he says,
"you got to push on through.
To put in the work." And then they found some YouTube videos that apparently had corn
shucking
hacks.
Well, we've been doing this all wrong. We've been doing this with our feet.
As to what it feels like, Avery says here, "There are really so many words to describe it, but it's definitely a feeling of pure joy and amazement because we don't know anyone personally who has done this, friends or families. And thanks to my ingenious husband, we are now Guinness World Record holders." When you get the certificate, the framed certificate that says you are a Guinness World Record holder,
mm-hmm.
Do the people at Guinness come and take that away once you no longer have
it? Give it back. You can't have that.
Like, if we were to figure out a way to get the four people together and do 50 ears of corn in a minute,
Do they go back to the other people?
Right.
And grab it, pull it off the wall, and then just step on it? Do
they, like it's a cigarette?
Yeah. Just bust right through it. Yeah, you can't have this. Yeah, I guess that'd be an interesting job if that's what you worked for as far as the Guinness people.
I'm in the certificate retention department.
Right.
Somebody broke your record. And here's the thing. I show up in the middle of the night. I will pound on the door. Hey.
Give it up.
Hey, somebody else did 11 tricks with a yo-yo in a minute. You're 9. You're a fool now. You're nothing. Give me the certificate. And so help me, if you tell anyone that you are a Guinness World Record holder when you're not, the next person you see is going to be my lawyer. And by
my lawyer, I mean their lawyer.
Number four.
There's a Netflix documentary that's getting a lot of attention. It's called The Tinder Swindler.
Mm-hmm.
A group of women were victims of a dating app-based swindler, and they all band together to hunt him down and recover the millions of dollars that he is alleged to have stolen from them.
Goodness.
Yeah. Simon Leviev is the subject of the documentary, The Tinder
Hope they get him.
Swindler. He says he's no con man, and how dare Netflix make him look like he is. This Tinder, I got two stories. One, this woman gets a message from her therapist on the dating app Tinder.
What?
Which you would think would be against the rules. If not Tinder, for sure, being a psychologist. This woman says she felt incredibly violated after she was liked by her psychologist on the app.
I like this.
She's saying that this is grossly inappropriate after he messaged her saying, hey, you look familiar.
Yeah, I'm your patient.
Hey, I feel like we've matched before. And then there was a heart eyes emoji. Then she swipes on his profile and realizes, yeah, I know how I know him. He's my psychologist.
And that's the dude we're talking about?
Yeah. She says, aren't you my psych? And then he says, oh, that's why you look familiar. Sorry, I deal with a lot of clients and it's hard to keep up. How have you been?
Not now.
That's not great.
No.
So then she went on Facebook to say that this happened to her. And now, and then he responds, I hope you're well. I'm just checking to see how you're going. It's been a few months since our last session. And then he says, I believe you've been spreading slander about me on social media. Please expect to be hearing from a lawyer in regard to defamation over the next week or so. And she responds, how is it defamation when everything is true? What you've done is gross, inappropriate, and violates ethical codes.
Uh-huh.
You're not allowed to approach me in public, let alone instigate contact on a dating app. Even after I said, aren't you my psych, you still tried to continue the conversation, knowing full well my status as a patient of yours. His answer is, I genuinely did not know that you were a client before you told me. I'm sure you can appreciate that I see a lot of clients, and it's been months since you've had a session.
Okay, so she wasn't swindled out of any money.
She wasn't, but no, it's just uncomfortable. And then there's this story of someone who was kicked off Tinder because they thought it would be a good idea to post a picture of themselves as a clown. It was not a good idea to post a picture of yourself as a clown. As it turns out, banned from Tinder after I posted pictures of myself as a clown, Jess Harkin wanted to show off her funny side to potential matches, so she shared photos of herself dressed as her alter ego, Kazoo the Clown. She's 25 years old and decided to replace her existing pics with photos of her in full costume as Kazoo the Clown. There she is in the full clown costume. And gloves, hat, fake nose, big red nose, silly face
paint.
Yeah,
but not too kazoo-like.
What do you mean? Are you thinking of Gazoo?
Yeah, okay, great Gazoo.
Kazoo and Gazoo, different. That would work for you if you were on Tinder and some chick was dressed up as the Great Gazoo, wouldn't it? I'll tell you this, it'd work for me.
Dumb, dumb.
Don't tell your wives. Yeah, they took issue with her clown photos, so they banned her. She says, I've seen girls with more makeup on than this. Even if you are you can still get banned. I decided it'd be funny to make a mini-series of videos where I changed all of my pictures on Tinder to pictures of Kazoo. She writes, I heard you were just looking for fun. Well, pal, the party has arrived. Where can I set down this birthday cake and chocolate milk? She's been banned, and now people are demanding justice for Kazoo, declaring that this is anti-clown discrimination.
Well, they put up with a lot, the clowns.
Jess says she first decided on a career in clowning when she was just 3 years old after seeing a clown at the circus for the very first time.
And didn't shake it off, huh?
She put off celebrating her clown alter ego for years because of cruel bullies. But she remained determined to succeed. Being a very, very shy kid, clowning provided Jess with a character that she could hide behind, she says. And the summer before starting high school, she began teaching herself magic tricks. When she turned 18, she decided to drop out of college and pursue her real dreams of working in the circus. You people have held me back long enough. I'm going to clown college. She says, I went to every circus that came through town, and I'd go in my full costume and hand in a resume to the ringmaster at the end of the show. Oh, boy. Can you imagine that? If you're the circus and somebody shows up dressed up as a clown and they're in the seats?
Here we go.
I wouldn't put up with that. I thought grown men who walk around events at the Tax Slayer Center for the WWE, there'll be grown men that will walk around the concourse
with belts
yeah. that they've purchased. I've always thought that was a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
Showing up to the circus dressed as a clown with a resume, that takes the birthday cake, Kazoo. She says, I got accepted to the circus the same week I started college. For a while, I was juggling between the two. But it got to the point where it was 9 hours of travel. Why is she Kazoo the clown? She says, Kazoos are annoying and no one likes them. Why would you? I don't understand anything this woman is saying. A spokesperson for Tinder has a statement here saying that Jess was banned from the service due to her account being used for promotional purposes. Quote, our community guidelines state that we may remove accounts used for promotional purposes. However, we want our platform to be a place where our members can share what they're passionate about with matches. So if she was to tell somebody, hey, I'm a clown, that would be one thing. But this is just basically her promoting her clown business on the Tinder. And that's why they say they pulled her from the app. That's just creepy, right? Hey, it's Kazoo. Okay, that's terrifying.
Nobody likes me.
Hey, boys and girls, Kazoo the clown is here. Who wants a nightmare? She picked the name because everyone hates kazoos. Okay, well, best of luck to everyone online. I don't know what to do with this. Can you imagine, too, she gets into college and drops out, like, the first semester to join the circus.
Run away to the circus.
Oh, man. Just the idea of showing up to the circus dressed in your full clown outfit. That's... it's so bizarre.
Number five.
A couple of minutes ago, we were talking about how owning a pet, this study that University of Michigan is going to be presenting in April, owning a pet can kind of hold off cognitive decline. That people who are of an advanced age who own a pet and take care of a pet, they find that there are fewer cases of dementia in those people.
Even fish?
again, it didn't specify what type of pet. I imagine. I mean, you have to take care of your fish. They're not as easy as you think they might be. You had to clean the tank and
fish.
Feed them, right? All of that. That's not to suggest that just because you own a pet doesn't mean you can't be a crazy person.
Well, that's true. There is just too much evidence of that.
The story of a owner with some expectations for a dog sitter. The owner's got some real demands. The dog's name is Junie, and the owner needs the dog to be watched, dog sat, for 9 straight days. Junie is a dog who is living with diabetes, apparently. And the demands that the owner has for the dog sitter, pretty strict. Says here, the dog owner writes, "I want to make some things abundantly clear because the last few sitters let me down. I will pay you $110 for your services. You are there to make sure Junie is fed, watered, and medicated. That is a fair price."
Each day or for the 9 days?
I think it's for the 9 days.
Okay, well.
Which, yeah, you're out of your mind. Right there. I mean, that's the red flag. Anytime somebody starts with, "I want to make some things abundantly clear," right there, that's a red flag. "I will pay you $110 for your services. You are there to make sure Junie is fed, watered, and medicated. That is a fair price. You are to be there 90% of the time. Last year, our air conditioning went out while the girl was at work, and we lost 2 rabbits because she was not there. Any emergencies, you will pay for out of your own pocket. You are in charge of taking care of Junie. And if anything should happen under your supervision, all capital letters, it is your responsibility. Yes, we do have cameras, and we check them frequently. No friends over, no parties, or anything of the like. You are to keep your phone on loud. I cannot stress how much anxiety I get when I call to check on Junie and I do not get a response. And finally, you will be paid in full approximately 24 hours after I return. I will make sure Junie isn't showing any anxiety, etc., before I write the check. Are we clear?" Wow.
Now, I would suggest, if this is the case, that you get a friend to watch Junie.
Yeah.
Only problem is,
you don't have any.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you have any. And I like the whole thing about the $110 being a fair price.
Uh-huh.
That sounds like the old man at the body shop. It's the old man at the body shop who's telling them, "This is all I'm paying." And it's not even, you know, doesn't even cover the first hour of labor.
The dog sitter replies to this nutso. And I think this is a very measured response.
Uh-huh.
The dog sitter responds, "Hi, unfortunately, I would not be able to meet all of the demands. I hope you find a great sitter."
Yeah.
And then
why even reply?
Well, I think it's the professional thing to do. And it's, even though this is a crazy person, the dog sitter is certainly very professional and very courteous with, "Hi, unfortunately, I would not be able to meet all the demands. I hope you find a great sitter." That should be the end of it. But it's not, because of course, Junie's owner is not taking no for an answer. Demanding to know exactly which part of the job description will be too hard for you. The dog sitter responds to this.
You weren't obligated to reply.
The dog sitter responds to this, saying, "I do work full time and I dog sit on the side. I wouldn't be there 90% of the time as you requested. That, and for $110 for a full week."
More than that.
"It's not sufficiently enough."
No.
"Especially if I will be giving the dog subcutaneous fluids and checking blood sugar."
Yeah.
The owner snaps back, saying she's going to explain the dog's medical care in person. And then she starts to say, if it's too hard, then it's too hard. I thought I'd give you a chance, but obviously you don't need the money that bad. And now I don't want your services. And there's quotes around services. Wow. 24-hour care for 9 days at $110 a week works out to 65 cents an hour.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I would have stopped responding after the hope you find a great sitter. Like when the dog owner says, what's too hard for you? I think that would have been the end of the text chain.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
Oh, I really needed that. Thank you. Thank you, Darren.
You're very welcome.
And on behalf of myself, Anthony Newley, Bernadette Peters, we'd like to thank George Harrison and Ringo Starr.
And Tony Randall for the Age of Aquarius.
The Top 5 Things podcast has been brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
It's true. It's very true. They actually have two locations. One's in Milan, one's in Galesburg. Both open 7 days a week. You can order items online from both locations through Leafly, and you'll find that the website, ntillinois.com.
Until next time, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
So long, Screwy. See you in St. Louis.
Wait, cakes for nutches.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
I get a technician. Wait, no.